This podcast is intended for an adult audience and does contain some very graphic descriptions of sensual scenes. So please only continue to listen to this podcast if you are willing to indulge in your deepest desires and are of a suitable age. Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Wild in Bed, your destination for salacious stories, sensual satisfaction, and finger-licking good fantasies. So tonight, part three of our serialization of Immaculate Service by Rhonda Connell. So, after their little threesome. And if you missed that last week, where were you? Really, it got filthy. Nate and Arabella now are free to have an adventure all on their own. And somewhere Nate has chosen, somewhere different. Given how well men pick the venues for first dates, this might not go as planned. Remember, you can read this full story and any of Arabella's stories of sexual discovery on Kindle Unlimited for free. So why not just head over to Amazon and search for Rhonda Connell? Or even easier, just follow the links in this episode's notes. You know, if you want to hear your fantasies narrated right here, then it's so easy for you to just email me at devlin@wildinbed.com, and I will do my best to satisfy your deepest desires. You know, this podcast is best enjoyed laying on your bed. Loosen your clothes. Put your earbuds in. Close your eyes and surrender to the pleasure of my voice moving over you. And when you're ready to surrender to pleasure, just go ahead and take a nice deep breath and hold it for a moment. And let it go with a sigh, letting go of any tension, any stress. For the next 30 minutes or so, it's just you and my voice. This is your time. Your time to relax. Your time for sensuous satisfaction. Your time to release your inner passions as you listen to my voice and feel the story moving over your body as you enjoy Immaculate Service by Rhonda Connell. After they lingered over a very nice breakfast of freshly baked patisseries and black coffee, Arabella went to shower. Elliot watched while she bathed herself, eyes closed under the running water, as her fingers traced soapy trails over her body, massaging her round breasts, tracing their way through her golden pubes and between her legs, where the soapy rivulets washed away some of the evidence of their recent coupling. Opening her eyes, she saw Elliot standing in the opening of the shower bay, taking in every detail, toying with his half-hard cock in one hand. "You're quite something, you know." Elliot's soft Irish lilt only just cut through the sound of falling water. "Oh?" Arabella smiled. "I've never wanted to share a woman so much, and yet wanted to keep her so much to myself." "I'll be good, I promise." Elliot laughed a full-throated laugh. "Oh, Jesus, don't do that. Whatever you do, be bad, be very bad." "Well, there's no point at all." Arabella waved Elliot's taxi away from the hotel steps as it disappeared along the long gravel driveway, before throwing her overnight bag into the passenger seat of her car. The sun shone from an almost cloudless sky, and she could feel its heat warm her skin. A beautifully benign day for October. The leaves of the large beech trees lining the elegant drive were just starting to adopt their autumn palette of golds and browns, and barely a breath of wind stirred them. Beyond the formal parkland of closely cropped grass, dotted here and there with specimen trees, which stretched away from the gentle hills, rose up each side their contours smoothed by a cloak of deciduous woodland, starting to take on the colours and textures of autumn. It wasn't difficult, Arabella thought, to see why the aristocrat, who must have invested a vast fortune into creating this country house, had decided that this place, specifically, was where it should be built. Learned, always to pack them, along with some comfortable clothes. Today, this meant she was wearing her favourite pair of form-fitting and dark blue jeans, topped with an autumn-toned stripy scoop-neck jumper, which skimmed snugly over her bust and smoothed in at her waist. She'd grabbed her light denim jacket, her hands nestled comfortably in the pockets, and her long, wavy, golden hair flowed loose around her shoulders. She looked up and saw Nate appear around the corner of the building. Well-worn jeans hugged his legs and backside in a way that did him, she thought, absolutely no disservice, and topped a pair of sturdy brown boots. A canvas backpack was slung on one shoulder, over a rugby shirt whose team allegiance, if any, she failed to identify. She stood as he looked up and noticed her, apparently pleased with what he saw. "Oh, good," he said, looking her up and down, his gaze settling, unusually, on her feet. "I wasn't sure you'd have anything suitable with you." "I never go anywhere without these," Arabella smiled. "So where are we going?" "That," smiled Nate, "would be telling." Arabella raised an eyebrow. "We're going for a walk. There's something rather special that I want to show you. It can have an interesting effect on people." "Well, that's rather mysterious." Arabella paused. "Shall we go then? Do I need anything else?" "Just bring yourself." Nate shrugged the shoulder, carrying his pack. "I should have anything else we need in here." "This way," he said, turning back and taking Arabella's hand in his as they joined a path which sloped gently up the hill, where the trees started to become taller and denser around him. "There's a story I should tell you." Arabella could see the boyish enthusiasm on Nate's face as he turned to speak to her. "The Earl who built this place, the story goes, had a rather eccentric second wife. The story says that he was into all sorts of occultism, paganism, witchcraft. There was gossip at the time that she led a coven, including aristocratic women and servant girls, even prostitutes. All equally, which, come to think of it, may have been more shocking to the Victorians than all the rest. She had a pagan temple built in the woods, and it's said they held extraordinary full moon ceremonies there. Completely naked, of course. Fire and music, wild dancing, wild and opium, and anything else you can think of. Copious amounts of public sex, obviously. She had a certain gift for guessing what would really turn people on and supply that for them. It's difficult to know from the stories how committed she was to the pagan practice side of things. Perhaps these days, she might even be thought of as a rather talented organizer of pagan-themed sex parties. Regardless, it's said she captured not just the Earl, but any number of aristocrats, politicians, and even royalty in her occult schemes. And that she used this power to, let's not say blackmail. It's such an ugly word. But it undoubtedly allowed her to pull some of the strings of Victorian high society. Sort of downtown abbey compromat. Arabella chuckled. Nate laughed. Something like that. Then again, it could all be complete balderdash, and the place could be nothing more than an elaborate Victorian garden folly that's attracted a few tall tales. What do you believe? I think it's a very peculiar place indeed. It has an energy about it. It seems to me, anyway. You'll have to see if you agree. It feels like somewhere you might try to do magic. They continued along the path, gently climbing the hill. It was cooler in the shade of the trees, and Arabella was grateful for her jacket. She pulled Nate closer to her and put her arm around his waist, and he placed her arm around her shoulders. "So, this is where you bring all your girls?" she teased. Nate laughed. "All which girls? No, I've never brought anyone here before. I don't know how many people know where it is. I've never found anyone else there. This path that we're on is obviously used enough to keep it open, but it doesn't lead there. We'll cut away from the trail before too long." They walk in comfortable, companionable silence for a while, Arabella taking in the smells and sounds of the autumn wood, the crunch of leaves and the snap of twig under their feet, the soft, mossy, mushroomy smell of the woods, the occasional crackle or quiet thud of a falling acorn where the sun breaks through. Sunbeams slice dramatically against the dark backdrop of bare trunks like the beam of a theatre spotlight. As they seem to be approaching the top of the hill, Nate pauses, breaking away from Arabella, and then takes her hand again. "This way," he motions to the right. "Through the trees now, not very far." Nate leads her off the path, picking his way between the trunks of huge beech trees, which tower above them, and which both of them together would, she thinks, struggle to get their arms around. After a few hundred yards, having picked their way carefully through a dense, unwelcoming thicket of spiky holly bushes, they emerge into a wide circular clearing in the trees, which seems to be perched right on top of the hill. Around the edge of the clearing, at intervals, granite boulders stand like sentries, and at one end, bathing in the warm October sunshine, a wide stone slab rests, about thigh high, as what Arabella can only call an altar. "Gosh," Arabella gasps, "I'm not sure what I was expecting, but it wasn't this." She steps away from Nate and walks into the center of the clearing, turning around slowly to take in the scene around her. A small area of ground in the center of the circle shows signs of recent burning, and as she moves towards the altar, she notices markings engraved into the slab and its supporting legs, runes and symbols whose meanings are unknown to her. The towering beech trees seem to wrap themselves protectively around the clearing, as if tasked, along with their holly, with keeping the secrets of this place. Arabella finds herself standing in front of the altar, fingers tracing the heavily worn grooves of the runes engraved upon it. After a while, she turns to look for Nate, who she finds still standing where they initially emerged into the clearing, watching her thoughtfully. "There's certainly something about this place," Arabella says, realizing as she speaks that she sounds a little breathless and her heart is racing. She feels herself shiver despite the warmth of the sun. "I can see what you mean." Nate smiles. "I hoped you would think so. That will make what I have in mind for you a lot more interesting. Now, it's important for these things to be done properly." Nate's tone sounds almost formal. "Help me gather some firewood." Arabella and Nate go off in separate directions, returning to the center of the clearing not long after, each with an armful of dry twigs and branches. Nate sits cross-legged on the ground next to the scorched circle and constructs a pyramid of twigs, into which he nestles a scrumpled piece of paper, which he lights with a match. "Fire is an essential element in any magic," Nate explains. "We can't do any of this without it." Arabella watches Nate skillfully nurse and build the fire, as the growing flames start to lick between the twigs, their light almost invisible in the bright sunshine, but their growing crackle in their heat, which she can feel pressing more strongly against her skin, testify to the developing work of the blaze. Nate seems captivated by his work, and for a moment Arabella wonders if he has forgotten about her presence. He carefully adds larger branches until a fire about 2 feet in diameter burns strongly at the center of the magic circle. Nate sits back on his heels then, apparently satisfied with his fire making, and fixes Arabella with a focused expression. Most pagans believe that sexual energy is one of the strongest forms of natural energy there is, and that by performing acts of joyous sexual union within a magic circle, great power can be raised. And there is a certain belief in certain strands of paganism that careful application of sexual stimulation, teasing the body just to the edge of orgasm, but withholding it again and again until the witch or druid is close to unconsciousness, can open the mind to powerful spiritual experiences. That in that moment of eventual explosive release, they can be transformed. Arabella observes Nate, somehow serious and different here than the man she and Elliot encountered last night. Why do I have a feeling you're not telling me this out of idle curiosity?
Well, said Nate,
that's because I intend to make you my pagan sacrifice. A flicker of uncertainty seems to pass across his face. That's if you want to, of course. Arabella's smile widens at the little note of vulnerability. That, Arabella replies after a thoughtful pause, is not an offer you get every day. Nate looks uncertain still. Arabella notices. That's yes, just in case you're wondering. But you'll have to guide me. I've never been a pagan sacrifice before. What do I have to do? Nate smiles broadly. Very little, really. We both need to be completely naked, sky-clad in the pagan way, and the rest is entirely down to me. That doesn't sound so difficult. That, chuckles Nate, I would not be so confident about. Nate, close to the warmth of the fire, starts to undress, removing first his shirt, revealing a nicely shaped chest with a sparse line of ginger hair in the center, and then his boots, socks, and jeans. He sits in the sunshine in just his boxer shorts, watching Arabella through the distorting shimmer of the flame and heat of the fire. Now you? Arabella takes off her jacket and folds it on the ground next to her, keeping her gaze fixed on Nate. She takes her jumper off over her head, revealing a simple black lace bra. She smiles, seeing the attention in his eyes, as she kneels to unbutton her fly and start to lower her jeans. She slides them down her thighs, slowly, before sitting on her jacket, trousers around her knees, while she unlaces her boots and eventually finds herself, just like Nate, sitting by a fire under the sky in their strange clearing, wearing only her underwear. Arabella is aware of Nate's gaze, taking in everything that surrounds him, not just her body, his sacrifice, though his gaze lingers longest here, but the fire in the clearing, and everything around them, completely naked. Nate's voice seemed almost choked with emotion. You too. Nate slips out of his boxes, standing now, the daytime firelight flickering over his body. His cock heavy, but not yet hard. Arabella stands too, and frees her breast from the bra before slipping her black lace panties down to the floor and stepping out of them. She wonders if she is imagining the feeling of power that seems to flicker between them, facing each other, naked, each side of this hot fire, and whether perhaps it's part of the magic of this place.
First a libation, says Nate. He has taken a small brown glass bottle with a cork stopper from his bag.
What is it? Arabella asks.
Shush.
Nate has come around the fire and stands by her side and places a finger gently on her lips. No more questions. You do what I say now. Nate passes the bottle to Arabella and she takes a deep gulp. The liquid slips warmly down her throat, creating a hot glow in her chest, just like the first draft of a good whiskey. It has a complex herby flavor she doesn't recognize. Nate looks on approvingly,
then takes a bottle from Arabella and takes a long draw himself, before carefully stoppering the bottle and returning it to the bag. It's important to be cleansed, physically and spiritually, before embarking on any ritual. Nate's voice seemed calm now. So first, we must wash each other. Arabella watches as Nate pulls a wooden bowl from his bag, along with a sponge and another glass bottle. He empties the contents of the bottle into the bowl and hands them to Arabella. Arabella swirls her fingers into the water and raising a gentle smell of musk and sandalwood, dipping the sponge in the bowl and staring at Nate's neck. Arabella gently spuns his chest and torso and then his firm, toned abdomen. Then kneeling, bringing the sponge down to his groin, her face inches from his stiffening cock as she sponges all around, not touching with her fingers, but rolling his balls under the sponge, drawing a sigh from his lips as she works steadily down his legs before she moves behind him and repeats the actions down his back. Once she is satisfied, she walks around to face him and returns the bowl, standing still now in front of the fire. Nate mirrors Arabella's actions, starting with washing her neck. But with none of the restraint of toilette, Arabella performed for him. As he sponges the scented water onto her neck, Nate kisses her deeply, then gently and attentively washes her breasts, raising her nipples to hard little buds before working gently down across the soft curve of her belly, working the sponge gently over her moans, never parting the lips but massaging with firm strokes so that her clit starts to respond to the pressure of his touch. He slips a hand between her thighs and gently encourages her to part her legs and continues his sponging, working on the soft silky flesh of her inner thighs, quickly down her legs, moving as she did behind her, where, as he gently wipes her shoulders, she can feel his cock pressing against her, before his practiced soft strokes tease her lower back, smoothing over her round buttocks and back to the tender flesh of her upper thigh. "Not fair," she gasps.
"Shush, you're the sacrifice, not me."
Nate comes around again to face her, looking her carefully up and down.
"Clean enough."
A gentle breeze stirs in the clearing and Arabella feels it sharply against her wet skin. She shivers as goosebumps rise on her arms, her nipples harder than ever under the effect of the chill wind. Pagan magic rests on the four pillars of earth, air, fire and water. Nate's tone is one of recitation. "The fire we have already, and you felt the water. I'm going to blindfold you and take you to the altar, and we'll explore the powers of air and earth." Nate ties a strip of soft fabric around her eyes. Silk, she thinks, and then takes her by the hand and leads her very gently away from the fire. Arabella steps tentatively, barefoot on the uneven ground. When she reaches the altar, she finds a cold stone edge under her fingertips, but is pleased to discover the top of the stone slab and draped in what feels like a thick, folded wooden blanket. "Up you get," Nate encourages her, as she climbs awkwardly onto the stone tabletop and lies on her back, propped up on her elbows. "Air," Nate explains, "is all around us, of course. It is often represented with feathers." Arabella feels a touch of a feather on her neck, tracing down onto the swell of her breasts. Its gentle pressure flickering across her tender nipple, provoking an intake of breath. "You like that, hmm?" Nate trails a feather across her nipple again, repeating the same gesture on the other breast. The feather then alights on Arabella's lips, which she parts with a soft gasp at the unexpected touch, before it takes flight again, touching down near her belly button and gently tracing its way downwards. It lifts up again as it reaches her nest of golden curls, alighting next on her upper thigh and stroking gently upwards, first on her left leg, then on her right, tracing a path to the powerful arousal building in her cleft, but never quite reaching it. "Turn over," Nate instructs. "I want you on your hands and knees like an animal." Arabella obeys, taking up position on the stone altar, considering for a moment what the scene must look like to someone who happened to wander upon it. A naked, blindfolded woman, long, dark, blonde, wavy hair cascading down to hide her face, on her hands and knees, her round, heavy breasts hanging beneath her, a man standing beside her, equally naked, his head of red curls blazing in the autumn sunlight, with a huge unabashed erection, teasing her with a feather. The image makes Arabella laugh a deep, filthy laugh. "You may be enjoying this too much." Nate's voice, not entirely serious, she thinks, interrupts her laughter. His hand touches her knee and parts her legs, opening her cleft so the cold breeze licks along her warm, moist slit, like a tongue after an ice-cold drink, making her gasp. Nate's feathers trace its way again up her thighs, but each time now approaching her clit, touching so lightly here that it only serves to raise her desire even further. Each pass of the feather along her cleft, making her flesh jump and quiver in anticipation and frustration. The touch so light, Arabella yearning for it to be replaced by the firm touch of a finger or a cock. The feather touch ceases. The next thing she feels is not the feather, nor a finger, nor a cock. In fact, not at all what she expects, as a very cold, hard object suddenly presses against her rim. "Earth," Nate's voice from behind her, represented in this case by a rather fine carved stone butt plug. Arabella gasps, closing her eyes despite the blindfold making this action redundant, and exhales deeply, trying to relax her sphincter against the clenching and twitching of her arousal. Nate pushes gently, seeming reluctant to hurt her, and the tip of the smooth, hard plug parts her a little way, but is pushed back by another pulsing contraction of her muscle. Nate takes the plug away, and she feels the warmth of his breath, and then the wet heat of his tongue working at her rim, his tongue just opening her sphincter a little. Before introducing a finger inside her, she marvels at the intensity of feeling of his touch inside this sensitive place, every millimeter of her flesh responding to the unexpected penetration, making her pulsating, twitching arousal, struggling to get her breath. She manages hoarsely to say, "You're going to have to push it in. I don't think I can make this any easier." With his finger still inside her, Nate brings a cold stone close alongside and, pressing gently but firmly, slips its rounded tip into place as his finger withdraws. As Arabella tries to relax and make space, she gasps as suddenly Nate drives it home, and Arabella can feel the cold girth of it inside her, broader and heavier than she had imagined it would be, as her whole pelvic floor pulses and contracts, finding something to push against at last, her back arching. "Jesus, Nate," she gasps, "I could come at any moment." "We can't have that," Nate laughs. "Roll over onto your back. Bring your head up to the edge of the table." Arabella does as Nate instructs, resting her head on the edge of the slab, where Nate rolls the blanket into a soft pad to support her neck. Nate leans down and kisses her deeply, their mouths wet with their mixed saliva. And then Arabella feels the head of his cock between her open lips, parting them. She takes him into her mouth, licking and suckling as Nate slowly pushes deeper, the control with him as he sees how much of his length she will accept. Arabella arches her back and feels the weight of the cold stone plug shift inside her, deliciously, finding she can work it against just the right spot. She begins rhythmically rocking her pelvis against the stone slab as she sucks on Nate's upside-down cock. The splash of cool air hits her face as Nate slips off her blindfold. Just as she opens her eyes, Nate takes a small step back, freeing himself from her mouth, and she watches his cum fly in thick ribbons, which fall hot and wet on her neck and chest. Arabella lets out a strangled moan, hips rocking against the hard tabletop, her arousal intense and almost intolerable. "For the love of all that's holy, Nate, please let me come." Nate laughs. "Now, see what I was saying about her spiritual experience?" Arabella fixes Nate with a stare she hopes carries some authority, but probably just speaks of her desperation and desire. Nate moves to her side and pulls her knees towards him, parting her thighs and exposing Arabella utterly to the sun, the air, and to his gaze. She can feel every sensitive part of her twitching and contracting. Nate runs a single finger along her slit, sliding almost weightlessly past her clit, though the touch still makes her hips jerk upwards and slips first two, then three fingers inside her. He works gently with his fingers, making her shudder before applying the gentlest touch to her clit with his thumb, hearing her draw a strangled gasp, then pauses. "Are you a squirter?" Arabella struggles to catch her breath. "I don't think so. God, Nate, don't stop." "I think you might be able to. There's a trick to it, if you want to try." Arabella can only moan hoarsely in response. "I'm going to make you come very soon. As you get close, I want you to bear down, as if you're trying to pee. You won't. But something really quite special might happen. In fact, bear down now." Arabella pushes down against his fingers and onto the toy as Nate's fingers work inside and outside of her, and then gasps as she notices her vision seem to fade and a grey haze starts to come in at the edges. "I think I'm going to faint," she gasps. "You won't, just keep pushing down." Nate's voice sounds reassuring but distant. Arabella's orgasm explodes suddenly from deep inside her and she feels a jet of hot liquid spill from her in several pulses as her whole body jerks and shudders against the hard stone slab. Arabella cries out wordlessly, incoherently, as her heart crashes in her chest and spasm after spasm seems to rip through her body. Sometime later, when she can breathe again, she opens her eyes and looks at Nate, still standing, watching at her side. "Jesus Christ, Nate, how the fuck did you do that?" "Oh well," Nate smiles. "It's magic." So, I hope you enjoyed Immaculate Service by Rhonda Kinnell. And do remember, you can read the full story or any of Arabella's stories of sexual discovery on Kindle Unlimited for free. And just follow the link in this episode's notes. Next week we have a new fantasy, something a little different. So I look forward to you joining me then, so we can get wild in bed all over again. But until next time, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams.